Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Money Smarts for You. Enhance your lifestyle by taking the positive path towards managing your money.
Welcome, I'm Barbie O'Connor, your host for the Money Smarts for You show. This show is your chance to ask me about the financial topics that affect your everyday life. If you have questions or thoughts about what you'd like to hear about on future shows, please feel free to email me at Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at MoneySmarts, M-O-N-E-Y-S-M-A-R-T-S, for you, the number four, the letter U, .com. After years of working with clients, helping them save, preserve, and grow their assets, I wrote the book Money Smarts for You, The Basics, which right now is for sale on Amazon. A great Christmas gift, by the way. I want teens, college students, millennials, growing families, and others to have a chance to learn the essentials that everyone needs to know about money in their adult lives. Since we're at the beginning of the holiday season, and since the recent Paris attacks are a reminder that terrorism continues, it is imperative that you have a plan in place on how to deal with identity theft in the event it happens to you or to someone you know. What is identity theft? According to the IRS, identity theft occurs when someone uses your personal information, such as your name, your social security number, or other identifying information without your permission. And in doing so, they're committing fraud or some other crime. Examples of identity theft include someone taking out a loan in your name that you did not authorize or know about, someone requesting a tax refund which should be paid to you, again, without your permission or authorization, and someone impersonating you when applying for a job using your name, social security number, and your good credit reputation. It can also include someone making a request for a credit card or filling out a pre-approved form, but without your permission. So keep all these things in mind. Identity theft can happen so many ways. Data breaches at major stores, trash stolen in luxe neighborhoods, dumpster diving at high-rise condos and office buildings, hacking events at financial institutions and government agencies, and hacking any online retailer that keeps your credit information on file. Every day, your financial information is at risk, so it's only a matter of time before it happens to you. Unfortunately, you cannot prevent identity theft, since most of the time your information has been acquired through a data breach of some sort. However, you can be proactive and do what you can to minimize the effects of identity theft on your finances and on your credit rating. Just like making sure your doors and windows are locked before you leave the house, these seven simple steps can minimize the likelihood that you will be a victim of identity theft and help you deal with the aftermath if you become a victim. Step one, safeguard your photo ID, passport, social security cards, and financial documents. Anyone who drives a car will need to have their license with them when they're driving, or in some states, they will need it to vote. Keep it up to date. If you've reached an age where you no longer want to drive nor should drive, then apply for the photo ID cards issued by the Public Safety Department in the state where you live. If you have your state-issued photo ID, then it will be harder for someone else to apply for that very same card using your name, address, and information without your permission to request an ID in your name. The same goes for your passport. Keeping it up to date prevents another person from using your information to get a U.S. government-issued form of identification. Although you only need it when you travel to certain countries, you may want to keep it current. Many countries will not allow you to enter their country if your passport expires in less than 6 months. So don't wait till the last minute to renew. Be ready at any time for that great travel opportunity that may come your way due to work or for pleasure. Although you may need your Social Security number when you apply for a loan or set up a new account, carrying your Social Security card with you daily opens you up to identity theft. If your wallet or purse is stolen or lost, there goes your Social Security card. So many utility accounts, credit card accounts, bank, and financial accounts are set up to use the last four digits of your Social Security number as a key to open up the rest of your information to someone who has those digits. So keep that information to yourself and don't carry your Social Security card with you all the time. The other thing to keep in mind, sometimes it's really easy to get a habit of keeping your wallet or your driver's license in your car. And during the holiday season, at least in my neighborhood, there have been a lot of incidents where there are actually spotters, people who are walking their dogs, riding their bikes, walking in the neighborhood, people who might be window shopping at the same strip center where you're going. And those people are paying attention to what you're doing. So they'll notice if you throw your wallet into your glove box or if you stuff a package underneath the seat. And the minute you walk into the nearest store, someone will come along, break out the glass in your car, and quickly steal the item that you have or you've thought that you've so carefully hidden. So that's another thing. Don't keep any important identifying documents or credit cards or your ID in your car. Now, in addition, besides all those holiday warnings that I just gave you, remember you want to keep at least 12 months of statements for your bank, credit accounts, and other financial accounts available in the event that you are a victim of identity theft. You may need these in that event in order to be able to prove what assets you've actually had and what has disappeared, and that can be a very daunting experience if, say, someone's hacked into your bank account or stolen your ID and managed to get to the bank and withdraw all your money. So try to have those kinds of documents on file. If you don't have storage for 12 months of statements, then at least have the last 3 months in paper form so that you've got a little bit of a paper trail. If you use your cell phone with payment feature programming, make sure you turn off the Bluetooth and Wi-Fi whenever you're anywhere where you're not making a purchase or on a secure network. Even with encryption technology, when you have these features on in a public place, you don't know who's looking for that open door you're providing them by having Wi-Fi and Bluetooth turned on. Step 2, burn or use a crosscut shredder to destroy documents that have your name, address, social security number, bank account number, credit card number, utility account number, basically any document that has any personal information on it about you. Why? Because with a little bit of knowledge, some charm, and some skill, a stranger can contact your credit card company with your name, your address, and the customer code on the outside of the special offer you've received, and they could be going to town on your good credit. The same thing can happen with catalogs that have your customer number on them. All it takes is someone to impersonate you, and if you have a credit card on file, they can be making purchases in your name as gifts and have them shipped to a third-party address. In addition to shredding your financial documents, most of your mail, including those pre-approved credit card applications, make sure you shred old credit cards, expired student IDs, and expired driver's licenses when you get a new one. Don't just throw it in a drawer in the kitchen. Destroy it. Also consider how your actions may affect friends, professional colleagues, clients, and others you care about. If you belong to any professional or social organizations, you probably get a book with everyone's name, address, phone, and email addresses every year. Shred the old ones when you get the new ones. If you don't want to take the time to do it yourself, then consider companies like Shredit with the mobile shredding trucks that will come to your home or office and will shred your documents while you watch. It's very convenient. I do it every year. Many communities have shredding events shortly after April 15th when income taxes are due, and sometimes again in the fall after the October 15th deadline. And they'll provide free shredding services using crosscut shredders. Don't make it easy to get your information. Just like making sure the doors are locked, you want to lock out anyone who's trying to get financial information about you. Step 3, review your credit reports regularly. With 3 credit reporting companies, TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax, you can request a report from each one each year. So that means one every 4 months. Before you make a big purchase like a new car or house or apply for credit or a loan, check your credit report a month in advance to make sure there are no surprises on that report. If you see that someone has applied for a loan in your name or applied for a job in your name without your permission or knowledge, then report it to the credit agency immediately. Once you've been a victim of identity theft, a hold can be put on your credit requiring potential creditors to contact you prior to authorizing credit for anyone using your name or Social Security number. Step 4, limit the number of credit cards you have and carefully check your statement each month. Most financial services firm and credit card companies only give you 60 days to notify them of errors or corrections that need to be made on your account. So you need to make a regular time each month to go over your statements and make sure you recognize all the transactions on your statement. If you have other family members who have credit cards with you under your account, you need to check with them also to make sure, yes, did they really go to Bed Bath & Beyond and spend $1,000, or has somebody somehow managed to get a hold of that number? Even the smallest charge that does not belong to you could indicate that someone has access to your account and is just testing the water before making a larger transaction with your credit card number. That's the other thing a lot of us don't realize. There are certain floor limits, like for some credit cards it's $35, others it's $25, where the card can go through, no PIN is required, not even a signature is required. And those are the ones that you need to be really aware of because it's very possible that someone will go and charge $35 or $25 on your card or the card they've made with your number, just making sure that you haven't already noticed that there's a problem. So immediately notify your financial services company if you discover transactions that are not yours on your account. You can call 1-800-5-OPT-OUT. That's 1-800-5-O-P-T-O-U-T to ask credit card companies to stop sending pre-approved credit card applications to your house or your mailing address. Shred any that you receive using a cross-cut shredder. Also, ask your existing credit card companies to stop sending you convenience checks designed to get you to pay off other credit card balances and consolidate your credit card balances with one company. If you have an elderly parent that may be in your care, you definitely want to make that call to the 1-800-5-OPT-OUT because you don't want credit card applications that are pre-approved being sent to either their old address or to the address where they currently might be under your care and have someone unscrupulously decide to take advantage of the fact that they may not be active in the business world. If you do most of your banking, bill paying, or shopping online, you may want to make sure you have a strong password for your accounts that you access via the internet. Make one that nulls the effort of the hacker, NULS. NULS, or nulls, stands for number, uppercase, lowercase, and symbol. Include more than one of each in your passwords to make them strong and harder to guess or harder for a bot hacker to get into your account. Step 5, don't give your personal information to any business unless you have to do so. Ask the company why they need the information if they're asking you for your Social Security number or your address or whatever. If you're using a credit card, then all they really need is your photo ID. If you're writing a check, your ID should be sufficient. There is no need to give out more information than necessary. The only businesses that really need your Social Security number are banks, financial institutions, lenders, credit card companies, and prospective employers. If you get phone calls asking you for your personal information like your address, Social Security number, birth date, hang up on them. Personally, if I don't know the number, I don't answer the phone. If it is important, they will leave a message. If it is a message about use of my credit card or bank account, then I will look up the number on the back of the card or the number that I have on file, and I will call notifying the institution of the call I received. If it is the real thing, they will send me immediately to the right department and take care of the issue at hand. Beware of responding to calls implying that you will not be able to use your phone, your card, your account with information that you do not want to share. Be calm and tell the caller you will call back, noting the number they give you. Then find the correct number and call inquiring to see if there is a problem with your account. Someone may be phishing for information in order to commit a fraud against you and your good reputation. Same goes for emails asking for personal information or ones that claim that you or a family member are in trouble and need help, if only you'll provide this or that vital financial clue. Forward those emails as spam to the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. Send them to spam, S-P-A-M, at U-C-E, that's U as in unicorn, C as in cat, E as in Edward, .gov. Do not respond to them. Protect your personal information. Be careful of what information you post on social media as well. If you're traveling and want to share photos of where you've been, wait until you return home. Advertising that you're not at home invites real thieves to burglarize your home, giving them access to your private financial information, your computers, and any data that you may have. Step 6. If you find that you're a victim of identity theft, notify your financial institution immediately. Have your most recent statement handy, as well as a list of the transactions that have happened since the last statement was printed. This is why you keep copies of statements for 12 months available at a moment's notice. It's also the reason that you keep receipts. Make sure you stay calm and that you communicate clearly. You will be upset and you will feel violated. I know this from personal experience. Take a few deep breaths as you work your way through the process of restoring your good credit. If you have identity theft insurance, the provider may offer to walk you through the process of restoring your credit. This insurance may also provide funds to pay legal expenses involved in resolving the issues that affect you. You will most likely be required to file a police report describing the incident and how you discovered it. Copies of these reports will most likely be required in order to restore your credit and get the fraud departments of lenders, credit card companies, and others to work with you. Call the Federal Trade Commission Identity Theft Hotline at 1-877-438-4338 to report incidents. In addition, report these incidents to the fraud hotlines for the three major credit bureaus. Equifax is 1-800-525-6285 or www.equifax.com. That's spelled E as in Edward, Q as in Queen, U as in Unicorn, I as in Idaho, F as in Father, A as in Apple, X as in X-ray.com. Experian is also available at 1-888-397-3742 or www.experian.com. That's spelled E as in Edward, X as in X-ray, P as in Paul, E as in Edward, R as in Robert, I as in Idaho, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy.com. TransUnion is 1-800-680-7289 or www.transunion.com. That's spelled T as in Thomas, R as in Robert, A as in Apple, N as in Nancy, S as in Sam, U as in Unicorn, N as in Nancy, I as in Idaho, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy.com. Close any accounts that may have been opened without your permission or any accounts that may have been affected by the fraud incident. And I will let you know, this can take you over a month or more to do this from start to finish. It's something you need to create a file on. You need to go back to it every single day practically to follow up on whatever it was that you were supposed to do next. Many police departments are overwhelmed at this time of year. If this happens to you during the holiday season, it may take them more than a week or 2 weeks to prepare the police report. So, and I will tell you from personal experience, the departments will not even listen to you claiming that you didn't, you know, set up an account or that's not you or you didn't give someone permission unless they have that police report in hand. So you've got to stay on everybody to make sure the work gets done because it's a very busy time of year. Be prepared to make a personal visit to your financial institution, taking with you some form of ID, like your driver's license or passport, along with your Social Security card, most recent statement, and list of subsequent transactions. That is the transactions that took place that you're aware of, that you made, that you gave permission to, that have happened since your last statement. Also be prepared to be asked if any family member or employee has access to your accounts or your records. It may seem insulting at first, but the statistics have shown that it's people that know you best that decide they maybe need a little more money and you won't get upset because you you know, use their credit card without their permission. This is something that's really important, that you need to establish limits and boundaries with your children as they get older, certainly with your adult parents. It's really easy for us in the name of love to say, oh, sure, I'll co-sign a note, or, oh, sure, you can use my card, or, you know, whatever. And what may be a one-time thing in your head becomes a habit for somebody else. So be prepared for that question, and also use best practices controls of your financial data and your accounts. Be careful about who has access to your account information. Step 7, get an insurance policy that covers identity theft. Find out if your homeowner's policy includes identity theft protection. Many policies include this protection that provides funds to cover the legal costs of getting your good credit record back in order. If you do not have this kind of coverage, consider purchasing a policy or asking your insurance company if they have a rider, an insurance rider, that will cover identity theft and its expense. In addition, remember to contact your other financial institutions, like your credit card companies, your mortgage lender, your landlord, utility companies, and others, to notify them of what is happening in your life. You may want to have some extra cash on hand just in case you have a few weeks where you cannot use your credit cards or access your bank account. Just like we would all like to feel confident that no one will ever break into our homes, especially after we've set the alarm and locked the door, we know that it is still a risk that we take every time we leave our homes. The same is true of identity theft. Protect your financial information, your personal information, and check your credit reports regularly to make sure the information is accurate. All of the tips I've shared with you today not only apply to you, but also to your children and any elderly family members who may be in your care. If you have any account set up for minor children, like 529 plans or Uniform Trust for Minors accounts, review those statements regularly and request credit reports for their tax ID numbers every 4 months. As for older adults who may be under your care or where you may be managing your assets, you may want to close all credit card accounts unless you need one for automatic bill pay for utilities and other bills. Also, use the opt-out feature I mentioned earlier to prevent pre-approved credit applications from being sent to them. If you have outside caretakers who come into their residence, remove all financial documents from the elder individual's home, apartment, or room. Protect their Social Security numbers and review their credit reports as well. Thank you for joining me today for the Money Smarts for You show. Next week, I will go over what you need to know if your financial institution is hacked. Later in December, I will go over year-end tax and financial strategies that will set you up for a successful new year. Please email me your questions or thoughts to Barbie, B-A-R-B-I-E, at moneysmartsforyou.com. And we will cover them in future shows. Remember, take care of your money to take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more at moneysmartsforyou.com. Like us on Facebook, buy the book on Amazon, and remember to subscribe to the show.